ministering and ministering and showing us what we should do. So tonight I want to kind of follow up on that. You know, once you have a great service like that or something God does in your life, you're going, well, what do I do now? How do I transform that from something that happened maybe in the altar or in our hearts or in our lives to something that is applicable to our everyday living? And that's what I want to attempt to do tonight, because as you can see, we want to do the right thing. Don't you wish, has there been times, you know, you've maybe done some business transaction or you've had a little bit of dealings with somebody regardless of how it goes, and did you just want to out of the middle of it say, don't you want to do the right thing? Can I just get you to do the right thing? You know, just, it makes so much sense to us. Well, God wants us to do the right thing as best as we can. I think everybody wants to do the right thing, don't they? I know. You had this, there was this pause. They call that a pregnant pause because it just sits there waiting to, you know, come to maturity, and then the answer comes out. You're a little skittish of that. Well, I got to thinking today. We got the wonderful news, and many of you remember Donna and Grady Weisbrod. Well, we just found out that her son, their youngest son, Matt, and Marcy are going to expect a child. So I don't know what the due date is or anything like that. I really don't keep up with those calendar events. I just know if it's here. So I know that they got a baby on the way. But on the other side of that, Debbie's oldest brother, Ron, is really going through some very, very difficult times, Alzheimer's, and it's just very difficult. And I kept thinking about the perspective of life that isn't even here yet but has the promise of a whole life before it. And then you have someone who has lived a full productive life. I mean a full life. And soon it's probably going to be extinguished. And in the midst of all that, what do we do? What do we do? Remember that story, you hear it sometimes at a funeral, they talk about the dash in between when you were born and when you died, those dates, that it's the dash that really envelops your life, it describes your life. And don't you, when it's all said and done, beyond even having to think about and anticipate Jesus saying well done, don't you want that well done to be about what you did right? That we just did the right thing. And it's tough, because I know the right thing is very difficult to do. It's not always easy, and it's not always simple, but it's not always about right versus wrong. Sometimes there's the right decision to make, that you're in the right time, at the right place, and those kinds of things. Those are things that are variables, but we can get to decide for ourselves what is do the right thing. Let me take you to Psalms 106, verse 3. It said, blessed are they who maintain justice, who constantly do what is right. I think our identification of right is not the issue. It's about continually to decide to do right. Probably needs a little bit of the conflict. And then we jump over into the New Testament, James, the first chapter, verse 22. James says this, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Let me transform that into what we want to say tonight. Don't just hear about the right thing. Do the right thing. Don't just talk about the right thing. Actively be involved in doing the right thing. And I believe that's a purpose that God wants us all to embrace. So let me take you four places real quickly tonight. First of all, if we're going to be doers and hearers, how about we start off with being helpful? Being helpful. It's not that difficult to just be helpful. Now, just stop and think about that word, helpful. What does that mean? Now, listen, I realize it's real easy to rally the troops around Chick-fil-A because it has Christian origins. They don't open on Sunday and all those other things. But I'm going to tell you what. If you've ever been to Chick-fil-A, you may have had some bad food. I don't know. You may have had some bad experiences with the crowd. But I doubt you had a bad experience with the people in there serving you. I'm telling you. I'm sorry. I'm not here to promote that. I'm not here to ring the bell for Chick-fil-A. But I'm telling you, those people, they've got those teenagers hypnotized. They're in there just buzzing and saying hi and everything. And I like the way they say, yes, sir, David, you know, and all this. It's crazy. It's not that hard to be helpful and to be nice and to be gentle with people. Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 9 says this. Paul says, do not be weary in well-doing, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't get tired of doing the right thing. Don't get tired of busting this Bible open every morning. Don't get tired of being on your knees every morning. Don't get tired of opening the door for somebody else and saying yes, sir, and no, sir, and thank you, and please. And you know what? We're over the fact that you know, Nobody calls me Mr. Mewburn, you know, and if they did, you know, I'd probably be cool enough to say, that's okay, Dave is fine. But I'm going to tell you what, in my day, you'd wear some stripes if you used somebody else's first name if they was an adult. You know, we had titles like coach and teacher and all these other things, but it was just a demand out of our parents because that was the culture we lived in. And sometimes we just left all of that, and we need to get back to doing the right thing. How about we start looking for a place to serve, a place to help, a place to use our talents so that somebody else will be benefited, because God wants us to do those things. It's a characteristic of us listening to the Lord. Now, this is not a big stretch, but you remember on that story, the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, Peter and James and John went up with Jesus. Next thing you know, Moses and Elijah, I believe it was, showed up. And Peter said, hey, let's just build some shelters right here. Let's stay here. You know why? I don't want to leave there. You've heard those stories of people who've had, you know, the out-of-body experiences. They've died, went to heaven. You know, they really didn't want to come back. You know, and I think if we step one foot into heaven, I'd like to stay there too. And this was their experience, the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus, God says, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. And he said this, listen to him. And sometimes the glory falls down on a church and we get so busy embracing the glory that we forget to listen with what God wants us to do with the glory. And I understand that. I really do. But this is the moment where we get to listen to the Lord. Do not be weary. And I have found that there's no greater rest than the rest that we have when we go to bed at night and lay our pillow on our head on our pillow and go, wow, I was faithful today. Wow, God was good today. Wow, I did the right thing today. That's a great rest. You know, I understand work is hard, life is hard. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of work, but there's nothing better than just resting when you know you've done your work well. What bothers you and I is when we know we haven't done our work well. We haven't done the best we could. We slacked off a couple of times. We found some diversions that we easily got swayed off of the straight and narrow, and we veered off course. That's when you have restless nights. That's when you worry about your life when it comes to that part. Could it be that it's time that we should increase our serving instead of backing off? Listen, I know some of you have age issues. Now, what I mean by that is you can't do what you used to do. I can't do what I used to do. So this isn't about matching physical abilities. It's not about how often you can show up. Listen, there's a lot of people that be here tonight, but they can't drive at night. I'm not there yet, but I understand that. I respect that. I have no problem that they can't hear. There's physical obstacles, but that does not mean it's time to give up because you have some limitations on us physically and otherwise. We need to keep going further than shutting down. But it seems, you know, the frustrating thing for you and me is when we meet people that, you know, they kind of get excited for the Lord and then they plateau. And it's almost like, let's coast from here. Wouldn't it be interesting to see Jesus with all that he did? He goes to the Sermon on the Mount. He preaches this great sermon. He serves this incredible dinner, and he goes, okay, let's coast from here. Let's just go from here. No. That's not within him. It's not within his nature. It's not within ours. Hey, the next thing, how about let's be hopeful? We talked about that this morning. Be hopeful. There's a difference between finding hope and continuing to be hopeful. People need to see you full of hope. They need to see the upside of you. They need to see the bright side of the gospel. They need to see the joy that's in you. They need to see this part of us. It's been said the minute you lose hope, you lose. I mean, we talked about this morning. It didn't take much to emphasize the fact that how horrible it is to be in that situation when you feel like it's hopeless. But with God, there's always a way. Yeah, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But the Bible also tells us that he's the God of the impossible. The God of the impossible. And if you ask me, when you have no hope, it's impossible, that's when God wants to show up because that's what he does. There's a place in God that defies all logic. It's that place that says everything is going to be okay no matter what the circumstances. And it's tough, isn't it? But we can be hopeful. You know why? Because hopeful is as much as a decision as it is to be helpful. We can choose hope or we can choose misery. We can choose hope or we can choose defeat. Man, there's great power in just being hopeful. Don't you like it when your day is going a little difficult and you run into somebody that's, you know, very hopeful? They're upbeat. I mean, sometimes it's annoying. I understand that's a personality issue, and not instead of hopeful. Hopeful is always welcome, no matter what your personality is. But there's some people that are a little more gleeful than you'd want. Well, too bad. I'm sorry, just too bad. Live with it. Suck it up. I'm telling you. Why don't you just decide at that moment to join the hopeful party? Because you know what? Here's the deal. Most of us, we would rather have people simmer it down a little bit and come down here to this little plateau of reality I live in instead of me stepping it up a notch and saying, you know what? They're full of hope. They're excited. They're having a good day. Maybe I should consider having a good day. How many times have you and I been guilty of our day went bad because we decided to let it go bad instead of deciding to not let it go good? Now, I was talking to somebody else the other day, and I think it was Scuba. We were driving down the road, and I said, you know what? I said, my kids have hated this forever, but I used to tell them they would spill their milk or something like that, and they'd say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. And I said, you didn't mean not to either, did you? Yeah, your parents had sayings like that. You just hated them. And the problem is, the reason you didn't like them is because they were the truth. Well, you know, hopefulness is something we can get up in the morning, we can pray through, we can read our Bible and decide we can leave the house full of hope, regardless of what you're facing. It's about time we do that. Why should we do that? I said it this morning, Romans 15:13. He is the God of hope. Remember what we said? He will help cause us to abound in hope. Hope doesn't have to be this constant, every 10 minutes I got to check my attitude and say, I'm hopeful. That's called affirmation, by the way. Have you ever got into that? There's nothing wrong with it. But a lot of people have to be affirmed over and over and over and over again. You know what? God would like to plant this hopefulness in our hearts so that it just shows up time and over and over and over again. That's a pretty cool rep to be in. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor the mind conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. We haven't seen the best yet. We're not talking about heaven at this point, okay? We're talking about things here on earth. We have not hit our best days yet. We haven't. And we get to just dream about that, but that's a part of the hope. Listen, I know it won't be perfect, but there's a big difference between disappointment and discouragement. Because we have disappointing moments, don't we? But here's what they're thinking about. Just remember, if you're disappointed, you know what? It just means that everything didn't turn out the way you wanted it. Your team didn't win. You know, it rained today instead of it was being sunny. Okay, that's disappointment. But when you get over into the area where Satan wants you to go, it's called discouragement. It's when you want to quit. You're just beat up. He reminds you how tired you are. He reminds you how good you are, but nobody else is good. He reminds you how difficult it is. He reminds you how indifferent everybody is. You just need to remind him of who your Lord and Savior is, and that'll straighten that up pretty quick. Because the Bible tells me he is the God of hope. So let's be helpful, let's be hopeful, and let's be faithful. Be faithful. Listen, you guys are faithful. Why am I preaching on faithful? Look, you're here on a Sunday night. We should be handing out cookies and stars and stickers on your forehead. Oh, that's what they do in the children's church Sunday school. I know why, because I pick them up on the carpet all the time, Miss Jackie. But be faithful. Don't worry, she's not here. So let's be faithful. Because it's not that just faithful to church, not just faithful to the Bible, not just faithful to prayer, not even just faithful to each other, but let's be faithful to the right thing. It's the time that we do the right thing over and over again that causes the right thing to grow out of proportion, and it begins to be a part of our life that is constantly a part of our life. It becomes our second nature. You know what second nature is? It's that thing that you're so drilled into that you know what, you've been trained in it, you've been forged into it, and now you are it, and it's just lying there, and it will never leave you. Because that's the way you always are. We need to keep constantly, repetitively, faithfully doing the right thing. But there again, it's not about identification. It's about just doing. You ever noticed, if you're normal, that your problems are a collection of a bunch of little bitty things that you just kind of let be in your life, and sooner or later, that little bitty thing becomes a habit, and then it grows into a problem. You ever notice that? Just shake your head yes, because we've all been there. How about we do the opposite? How about we start building good things, productive things, faithful things that we do, just keep doing over and over and over again. And after that, like Paul said just a minute ago, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. You want a tremendous, faithful, you know, opportunity to live through the Word? Keep reading the Word just every day. Listen, faithful doesn't mean always fun. It doesn't mean exciting. It just means faithful. Most of the times, our faithfulness is going to be measured in decision, in dedication, in devotion, and not thrills and stuff that's fun. It's going to be difficult, but it's going to be fruitful. It's going to be fruitful. Tremendous things happen. F.B. Meyer said this, "Don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities which may never come, but faithfully handle the little things that are always claiming your attention." So what's claiming your attention today? Remember those times when your kids just wanted a hug? Man, I love it. You know, those little kids, when they don't get full sentences yet, they just say things like, "Hold you, hold you." Isn't that cool? I'll walk a mile out of my way to have a kid come up and do that with me. I love these kids out here that they will interact with an old geezer like me. It's really kind of cool. I got one little girl. Now listen, don't be bent out of shape when I tell you this, but every day her mother tells me, she said, she can't leave until she finds you, gives you a fist pump, says, "Roll Tide." Now that's God. Okay, now that I've lost the spiritual part of my sermon. But it's cool. I look forward to that. You would too. So what are the things that are continuing for that, claiming for your attention? What's demanding your time and effort? Is it your spouse? Listen, there's a big difference between a spouse demanding and a spouse simply needing, and you taking the time to understand that I need to feed into this relationship. Hey, good for you if you do the right thing. Good for you if you don't veer off course. Good for you if you walk the straight and narrow. But you know, sometimes that needs to be communicated with three little words like, "I love you," "I care," "I'm listening," things like that. The Lord wants to hear you say the same thing to Him. What's fighting for your priority in life? Is it God? Is your priority money? Is your priority your life? Is it your business? Is it your income? God knows what's the most important thing. So let's just be faithful in doing the right thing. The last thing is, let's be joyful. When you're helpful, you'll see it in your serving. When you're hopeful, you'll see it in your attitude. When you're faithful, you'll see it in your life. But when you're joyful, listen, the only thing that can bring you joy is the fruit of the Spirit. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Hey, listen, we have times when something happens, it makes us happy, we smile. You know, the tension isn't there, the problem, the priority, the issue isn't there. We're not dealing with a catastrophe. God somehow has just allowed us to have a good day. Listen, that can cause you to be happy, but true joy, it goes all the way to the core of your being, and it always goes in the sense of the Spirit. Unlike happiness, joy is not found in emotion or circumstances. It's found only in the Holy Spirit alone. Through Christ alone are you going to have joy. So, you know, that's why there's a lot of people out there, and even though some of them are in church every Sunday, they're still not experiencing joy because they really haven't experienced Jesus. They're trying to put themselves all around the situation that they think will bring them joy. Have you ever been guilty of this? I've been guilty of this probably a million times. You see somebody that's impressionable, somebody you kind of admire, and you find yourselves kind of repeating the way they are. You kind of begin imitating them. Yeah, I did this with a couple of guys. You remember Denny Duron, who was here a part of our Holy Spirit conference? Well, he had a really good friend named Rick Burley. As a matter of fact, they still minister together down in Shreveport, Louisiana. He met Rick at Louisiana Tech. Rick was this national champion in black belt and karate and all this other stuff. And I met him, and Rick was just this gravitating, just this infectious personality, always smiling, always just got a big grin on his face, happy as he could be. And I found myself just without even knowing it, just kind of imitating the way he lived and the way he said things. I began to imitate him. I didn't know I was doing it. You know what? I was trying to find in me what he had in him by just being close to that personality. But the only thing that can make a difference in our life is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. There is one thing that joy and happiness have in common. It's called expression. It's called expression. If you're happy, I'm not talking about being surprised, you know, happy birthday, we're freaked out a little bit because usually after that we're a little embarrassed, you know, we know what to do. But you know what, when you're happy, you can't hide happy. Or you can sit on the smile a little bit or whatever, but you can't hide it. You know what else you can't hide? You can't hide hurt. You can't hide brokenness. We're an open book to everybody and to Jesus Christ himself. But joy and happiness finally have something in common. Joy comes from the Lord. Happiness comes from our circumstances. But through expression, we get to literally live them out loud in both other ways. It's okay to express our joy, to smile, and to plain old get excited. Did you know that? It's okay to do that. Now, I know, right, when a crowd sometimes, you know, we're a little bit hesitant. We're not exactly sure. You know, you might get all fired up. You're worried that maybe if you get all excited, you know, the pastor's going to call you down. Can I just tell you, let me tell you what. God has this great plan, you know. He likes to start fires. And when it gets out of control, God knows how to control the fire. The problem with him is that God is trying to raise his people up to at least learn where the matches are. I mean, we're serious. He just wishes that they just had a little bit of energy, that they would quit worrying about whether they're going to stir up something a little bit out of control or out of normal, and just let him decide whether he can handle it or not. God is a great way of doing that. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, he said this, "Let me remind you to stir up the gift of God in you." To stir it up. Listen, it might be in there. That doesn't mean that it's active. That doesn't mean that it's working. That doesn't mean that it's really being expressed. It needs to be something about that. Listen, this is not about being Pentecostal. You know what this is about? This is about being a Christian. This is about being a Christian. There's a lot of you things that have, God has done something great, and you were excited. And the last thing you did was going, "Oh, well, God bless me again. Oh, no." No. You couldn't wait to tell somebody else. You couldn't wait to share your wonderful news. It was exciting this afternoon. We got the news that Matt and Marcy are going to have a baby. You know what? They've been married for a long time. I was thinking I was going to have to drive all the way to Utah and give them a speech. But, you know, Debbie and I were saying, can you imagine how Donna and Grady feel right now? Can you imagine how excited they are? You know, I remember when I was in 9th grade, came to school one day after I'd had this long kidney infection several months before, and man, I just remember it was tough. It was one of those things where it just hurt, and I had to make these pills that they gave, these antibiotics, you know, back in the old days. It was huge. I had to break it into 4 pieces just to take it all. And I came into school one day, and Connie Stevens had been missing for about a week. And I said, "Connie, where have you been?" She sat right behind me. And she goes, I had a kidney infection. I got so excited. Somebody else had a kidney infection. I said, "Are you serious?" I said, did you get really sick?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "Did you get a fever?" She goes, "Yeah." I said, "They give you these big pills you had to break into 4 pieces just to take it?" She goes, "Yeah." I go, "I've got a friend. We have bonded, you know." I'm serious. That's how really ridiculous it was. 9th grade. So I'm feeling good about this new friend that we've had because we've gone through life together. And on the way out, had Dee Hale tell me, said, "Dave, you're an idiot." I said, "Why you call me an idiot?" She goes, "Connie didn't have a kidney infection. She had an abortion." You know, I was a 9th grader, and I wish we could return back to those days. As a 9th grader, I had no idea what an abortion was. Weren't those good days? Not because we lived in ignorance, but because our culture said, "Hey, that's not the thing to do," and on and on and on. I'm not judging when I just say that, but I thought in the contrast how sad it was that Connie had an abortion and she had to hide it under this cloud of lying and deceiving. I don't mean that she was a liar and deceiver. You see how it goes. But she had a life that she couldn't celebrate. She couldn't go excited. She didn't get to send out invitations, and they didn't have her a baby shower. They didn't throw a party for her because she was expecting. You see, when we do the right thing and God fills us full of joy, he doesn't fill us full of joy so we can check it off in a box. He fills us full of joy so that it will literally bleed out of every soul, I mean every cell and of our body, and so that it will be an expression unto him. There's nothing like the joy of the Lord. Well, Pastor, you told us to get excited. What if things get out of control? Well, I'll be honest with you. I welcome phone calls, and I welcome letters saying, "I think things are getting a little out of control." Okay, you know, we'll deal with that as it comes. But don't you think that the results will be a little orchestrated? you know, Pastor, I mean, what about, you know, don't we want to be careful about false enthusiasm? Well, can I just tell you, false enthusiasm is better than no enthusiasm whatsoever? And listen, this isn't me telling you guys, hey, you need to be different. But I'm talking about the joy that God has given us. He's given us so that it can be shared freely and not so it can just be a part of our private testimony. This isn't something you write in your journal only. This is something you share with everybody. This Bible, God forbid that God put all of these things in these inspired writers' lives and they never put pen to paper and it never came into our lives. The story of Jesus was still a secret. But you know what? On the day of Pentecost, they could not help themselves but bust out of that place and go and share what was happening, what was going on in their life, what God had just done. They had just received the answer to their prayer, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, and they spilled out into the community, and people got saved that day. 3,000 plus got saved on that day. I know we all want our praise and worship to be awesome, our expressions of joy to be authentic, genuine, and sincere from the heart. But none of those will happen if we don't start somewhere, if we don't just begin. And somebody has to come along and say, listen, I'm not telling you to change. I'm not telling you to stand on the pew. I'm not telling you you have to raise your hands if you never raise your hands. I'm not telling you you have to raise your voice if you never raise your voice. If you're not outspoken, that's okay. But I am telling you that, you know what, if you're waiting for somebody to give you permission to just exercise the joy that you know is deep down in there and it's covered over about a lot of things, then do the right thing and express that. Whether it's privately, openly, in the right context, God will guide you in that. But let's be vocal. Let's be verbal. So what do you call a church that has no joy, no expression, and no life in it? You know what we call it? We call it a dead church. We call it a dead church. And it starts in the pulpit. If nothing but death comes out of this pulpit, nothing but stale things, nothing that just words, neat little phrases, cliches, quotes out of the Bible and other people, then we're done. The joy of the Lord is what we want and what we desire. And the joy of the Lord is what God wants to give us again and again and again. There again, Jesus and the disciples were up on the mountain, Transfiguration. And out of all of that, what a great, wonderful mountaintop experience, if you will, that they had. But they had to go back down. Jesus knew we can't stay here forever. Our life isn't about staying on the mountaintop. It's about spilling off the mountain, going into the valley, and changing the valley for the purpose of God. But remember the words of God. He said, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to what God is saying to your heart. Do the right thing. And if you need some suggestions, be helpful, be hopeful, be faithful, and be joyful. Amen? We can start right there. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and I'm going to ask you to do something tonight. I'm going to ask you, as many of you will, to come, and I would like you to stand tonight. This is a little orchestrated, but there's nothing like when we sing a song and we sing it and we're in close proximity to our neighbors, there's something that just happens in our heart. Now listen, you know, you're not going to be judged if you move or don't move. But as many of you that will, I'd just like you to come as close as you can to the altar and just stand here. And we're going to sing this one last song in benediction. But I also want it to be an expression of our heart. You know, maybe sometimes if you get closer to the screen, you can see the words better and sing them louder. I don't know. But that's what I want. So on your mark, set, go. I'm going to ask as many of you will to just stand and as make your way down here as close as possible. Hey, you know what? We're all family tonight. We're just inviting you all to be down here. We're going to sing this one last song. And I pray that God will encourage you as we do this to just be thinking about tomorrow, the times that you get to have the opportunity to be helpful. There's somebody who's going to show up in your life tomorrow, and they're just going to need a little assistance. They're just going to need a nice hand. Maybe it's just some directions or whatever. You know, I find myself at the hospital all the time, and I feel like I know the hospital because I've been there enough. And I find somebody just looking around, and I just want to go. And most of the time I do is say, "Hey, can I help you?" I find myself at a store. We did this at Chili's this week. I'm sitting there and somebody's come in and I open the door and I said, "Hey, I don't work here, but welcome to Chili's." And then I say that, I'm going, "You're an idiot, Dave. Just shut up and open the door." But they always seem to smile a little bit because whether I work there or not, whether it's my job or not, whether it's Chick-fil-A or not, they like a friendly face. Aren't you looking for a friendly face tomorrow? Why don't you look in the mirror and start with there? Start with that friendly face. Be helpful. Be hopeful. Yeah, listen, this isn't about just upbeat for the sake of being upbeat. This isn't some positive thinking thing. Listen, I'm not Tony whatever it is. You know, but there's a commercial. I'm selling books and all this other stuff. This is about the fact that, you know what? Tomorrow you get to decide what kind of day your day starts out to be. And if it's a hopeful day, I guarantee you, it will probably end up being hopeful. And be faithful. Just continue doing the right thing. Just keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. I hope that you're starting every day on your knees. You know what I mean. That's a figurative thing. Some of you, we don't want you on your knees. You have to call the fire department to get you back up. But just start. Be faithful and just keep doing the right thing, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Start your day the way it belongs. And the last thing is be joyful. You know what? I've been in some hospital situations where I showed up and man, I said, Father, I'm the pastor, I'm the minister, I'm supposed to be the uplifter, I'm supposed to be the one with something that will rescue this title, the circumstance. And I walk into that family and I end up being blessed. You know what? Because in the midst of all that, it's not all giggles, it's not, oh, praise the Lord, it's sad stuff. But in the midst of all that, I see people that beyond all the hurt and the pain and the diagnosis and the tubes and all everything else going on, there is just the presence of God. And there's joy that supersedes any circumstance, any disease. God can do that, and God alone. Amen. Father, I pray the next few, we're going to sing this one song, Lord, and I pray that you will just help us to embrace you. I pray that you will help us just to embrace these things. Because God, we need a directive. Everybody loves to know what you're supposed to do next. The next thing we're supposed to do is the right thing. And the right thing right now is to just worship you in this song. And when we leave, Lord, continue to help us, motivate us, inspire us to be the people of doing the right thing.